Okay, everybody, I think we can go ahead and. Sorry, I don't usually bang the gavel, so. Okay, I think we can call the meeting to order. I know we're all having such a great time visiting, but we'll get started and call the roll.
Ms. Anderson.
Here.
Ms. Blakeman.
Here.
Mr. Fulmer.
Here.
Ms. Hart.
Here.
Mr. Ledoux.
Here.
Mr. Lansford.
Here.
Mr. Malik.
Here.
Ms. Pearson. Ms. Pearson. Ms. Sandler.
Here.
Okay, for our first agenda item, we have, of course, the item to approve the agenda. So.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Now, for those in the audience, we will, on every action item, we will have an opportunity for a brief public comment, but there is a general public comment section at the end of the agenda. So we'll have an opportunity for board questions and comments, and then audience comments or question, or audience comment, and then the board vote for each action item. So just as an FYI. So for the approval of the agenda, do we have any questions or comments from the board? Okay. Any comment from the audience on the approval of the agenda? Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, same sign. Okay. Next, we will move on to the approval of the minutes. So we have two sets of minutes, the regular meeting minutes of May 21st, and then the nominating committee meeting minutes of June 9th.
I move the regular meeting minutes of May 21st, 25, and the nominating committee minutes of June 9th, 25.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Then do we have any comments or questions from the board on the approval of the minutes? Okay. Any comments from the audience on the approval of the minutes? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, same sign. Okay. And next we have the director's report.
Okay, so this evening I'd like to kick off the director's report with a presentation about early literacy from our children's librarian, Laurel Helfer, and our new mother goose on the loose, Mary Jo Harvey. So this is a great time for everyone to meet Mary Jo, our new goose. And we wanted to provide this presentation this evening because early literacy has been a really strong topic of conversation in our community, in particular in the last year. We've had lots of opportunity to have discussion with local groups, United Way, Rotary, lots of places that are really looking to do their part to do what we can about early literacy and school-age literacy in the community. So I thought it would be really helpful for us to have a wonderful presentation today to learn more about the library's efforts.
My name is Laurel Helfer, and I'm a children's librarian here at the Champaign Public Library.
And I'm Mary Jo Harvey, and again, I'm the new Mother Goose.
And we are really excited to be here tonight to share with you about the importance of early literacy and also about some of the ways that the library supports the development of early literacy in our community.
So you're asking yourself, what is early literacy? So we thought we were to help define that. Early literacy encompasses everything that a child knows about reading and writing even before they can actually read or write. And it's not really about direct instruction at this age, but it's rather about the building the strong foundation of skills and knowledge such as vocabulary, the print awareness and storytelling that are essential for the future reading success.
And I have to comment that none of these photos are stock photos. They're all taken at the library, so it's pretty cool. You can see the early literacy in action. So why early literacy matters? Babies are born ready to learn. In fact, 90% of brain development happens from birth to age 5. So it's a real critical window of opportunity to support young children's development. And early experiences are what shape the brain. So talking, singing, reading, writing, and playing with children are what will build the vital neural connections. So the more sensory stimulation that a young child receives, the more neural connections that are developed. And this early literacy foundation equals lifelong success. So these foundational skills not only support reading, but also school readiness and beyond. And the local need is urgent. Only 19% of Champaign Unit 4 kindergartners were deemed fully ready for school, and this is according to the 2022 Illinois Kids Survey. And research also shows that when children start school behind, they struggle to catch up. Luckily, there is a solution. We can give children rich daily opportunities to build early literacy skills at home, in the community, and at the library. And we can do this through the five practices of early literacy.
And at home and at their school, the caregivers are all busy doing these things, talking, singing, reading, writing, and playing. And of course, talking, okay? Children learn language by listening to others talk. They learn new vocabulary and plenty of background knowledge to support that.
The second practice, sing. Songs slow down language, so they break down words into their sounds and their syllables, which is called phonological awareness, and it's one of those important pre-reading skills. They also help children develop listening skills, and I recently read a study that they can actually help regulate a child's mood long-term. So singing with kids is very powerful.
And then, of course, reading. The single most important way to help children get ready to read is to read together. And of course, the word together invites a child to engage in that story with you. And, children develop a love of reading when you love and share what you're reading together. You can talk about the pictures. You can read from left to right. You can learn to care for a book, turning the page left to right.
And then the next skill is write. Both reading and writing are ways to represent spoken word. So when children are given an opportunity to make marks, scribble, draw pictures, tell stories, they are actually practicing reading skills.
And finally, playing is what I like to do. Playtime exercises the imagination, right? And it encourages expression of thoughts. It helps the children put their thoughts into words and practice those skills like narrative sequencing. So now we'd like to share some important ways that the library supports early literacy development.
One of the ways is through our story times. So story times are a cornerstone of early literacy. They offer a developmentally appropriate and engaging environment where both children and their caregivers can practice those five practices together. If you have not attended a story time before, they are much more than reading books. And we offer over 10 weekly story times aimed for babies, toddlers, preschoolers, and their caregivers. We also have our monthly sensory-friendly story times. And all of them are led by trained staff who model literacy strategies and also offer tips for caregivers. In addition to supporting early literacy, story times also support social emotional development. They provide an opportunity to build community and to foster a love of books and reading.
Mother Goose on the Loose. All right, it's an award-winning early literacy program, and it was developed by Betsy Diamond Cohen. It's an ongoing outreach to early childhood daycares, supporting children and their caregivers, including their parents and teachers. It uses nursery rhymes, singing, instruments, and movement, and the program is highly interactive and engaging. So I go out to, this is our outgoing Mother Goose, Dana, maybe you've already met her before. So she's trained me over the last month, and I got to start this week on my own. So where I go out to daycare facilities, to play groups, to special events, and I target birth through age 5. We support teachers. They have, through our surveys, reported that they have increased their reading time 20 minutes per day and strengthened children's group time participation skills. I think it gives them opportunities to see it in action and practice what we do and that see that it works well with the children. Parents also have reported that they increased their reading time by 15 minutes per day, so they're making a commitment to it. And I want to say that we have repeat visitors, which is kind of fun. As I go out to the different play groups, I see that they make it a point to put it on their calendar to meet their peers and to enjoy these story times, strengthening those from place to place. Also here at the library. So the children are building their treasured home library by earning, free books every time they attend. So it's a great way to begin a positive and age-appropriate, development-appropriate relationship with language and the library. So another way that we support the development of early literacy is through our Books to Build Home Libraries initiative and also our reading challenges. Last year, we distributed over 17,000 books to build home libraries, and we do this at events, at our Mother Goose on the Loose Story Times, year-round at our Douglas branch, and also through our reading challenges. So we have three reading challenges each year for infants through high schoolers, and we also have our 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten program, which is ongoing. And the purpose of the reading challenge is dual. The first is to build that consistent habit of reading, and the second is to build home libraries. And how it works, readers track the time that they have read or listened, and then they earn prizes for different milestones. And the prizes are brand new books of their choice that they can take home to keep. And the reason why this is so important and why we emphasize building home libraries is that home libraries are linked to stronger literacy skills and also to academic success. In fact, they are said to have dramatically positive effects on reading growth and academic achievement, and home libraries have even been linked to increased job attainment for adults. So having easy access to books in your home is important for everyone.
Not only that, but from nature programs to life-size games and hands-on crafts, our family-friendly events encourage learning through play and exploration while supporting pre-reading skills. And in June, we are offering over 80 events and activities for kids of all ages. Wow. through our Growing Together and our Hatchlings training, we offer workshops and resources for caregivers on early literacy and child development as well.
And we also have spaces and places to explore. So our library features spaces, toys, and materials that encourage open-ended play, creativity, and sensory exploration. And these are all key components of early learning.
We have Ready, Set, Read bags. Ready, Set, Read is a collaborative early literacy initiative between Head Start and the Champaign Early Childhood Center and the Champaign Public Library. The project supports families in using the five core early literacy practices, talking, singing, reading, writing, and playing with their children. And every August, the library assembles each literacy kit. And then these are distributed by the schools to families new to the program. The kits include engaging materials and activities which are designed to help the families incorporate early literacy practices into their daily routine.
We also have a wealth of learning resources available for community members. We have access to a wide range of books, music, educational materials, online story time videos, rhymes, and much, much more. So we are proud to support early literacy in our community and to help every child get ready to read. Thank you so much for having us tonight to share a little bit about what we do, and we're happy to answer any questions if you have any. And
yeah, of course we do.
Yes.
Do you have any data on the demographics that you serve the most, whether it be middle class, upper class, or the lower class of our society?
So you do have quite a bit of information about the different daycare facilities that you go to, correct?
Yes. We do have statistics for some programs, such as like Mother Goose on the Loose that we developed when we started designing that program with United Way. As far as, because we serve all residents of Champaign, I don't know that we necessarily have demographic data on like income necessarily. However, we could use some resources to kind of map card holder, because that's one of the things, card holding, but you don't have to have a card to access resources inside the library. But we could do that like based on neighborhoods and things like that. We did a little bit of that activity with the geospatial component of the strategic planning process that kind of helped us build out some ideas for partnerships and strategic partnerships and things like that. And that would probably be the resource that we would check to kind of form an answer to that question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
One of the questions that I have, this is wonderful. This is great.
often, you know, I'm concerned about especially children in the summer when teachers have worked hard all year to, you know, to actually teach and train. And then during the summer, they lose those skills because they're not involved in academics like this. Do you have anything with flashcards, word recognition, like color, you know, things like that, like the colors of, you know, word recognition with the colors there?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes. So definitely can find that in our story times. We focus on many of the skills, but for taking materials home, we have lots of books that have that, but also we have these great things called launch pads, which are, they're like an iPad, but they don't have access to the internet. They only have educational games, so it's a nice opportunity to have something that's interactive that a caregiver and child can use together about specific skills, like colors or numbers, learning a different language. There are lots of different topics.
Okay.
Yes.
And also, is there anything you see that's wrong with the child picking up a book, not knowing the words, but looking at the pictures and just kind of thinking about what it says and just reading what they think is there?
That's actually one of the first skills, is just
okay,
learning how a book operates is a skill, that they have pages, that you turn them, that you find meaning from them. And so looking at the pictures is actually something they teach in school, and we highlight in our story times because you can get a lot of information just from looking at the pictures. And there's even a whole category of book called wordless picture books. And interestingly, this week I helped an adult learner find some who's learning English because they want to practice that skill of looking at the pictures and finding out what they think might be happening. So it is definitely appropriate and a great thing to do. And it can also create a lot of discussion. It can be fun to try to think, what is happening here? Let's make some predictions. What might happen next? And those are questions we'll ask in story time. You can also learn lots of social emotional skills about if a character looks happy or sad, and you might wonder, I wonder why. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Lastly, I'm going to ask you more. Making sure that parents understand that if a child enunciates or says a word wrong, do not make that child feel bad about that particular word or you know, whatever. Just go with it and then correct, right?
I don't know. My family always made me feel like an idiot if I was Sherilyn, too.
I've heard a great thing that I like to remember, which the purpose of language is to communicate. So if you are able to communicate, then it is doing what you need it to do. So if you mispronounce a word or use a word incorrectly, if you're getting your ideas across, then you are being successful. So I think it is fine.
Well, what I've done is I'll let them say what they want, and then I'll just say it the correct way and not direct it at them. So that's a lot of parents don't understand that.
Since I deal with the 0 to 6 age, we are just playing, and we're all able to try and participate. And the more that they can encourage one another and just try, we have a good time with that.
Good,
yes.
Thanks.
So I like that.
Are there some assessments for parents that have shame about their literacy skills, so they're not able to read to their children? Do you have any audio connecting devices to help those parents that aren't able to read to their children to take home, so that the audio device can read it to the child in
yes.
different languages?
That's a great question. Right now, the physical format that we have is called a Wonder Book, and it's a picture book that has the audio built in, and it serves a lot of purposes. That is one of them. Another is perhaps the parent is busy and would like to read to their child, but they also need to make dinner. The child can sit down with the book and have it be read to them, and it, I don't know, when I was a kid, I loved it. It cues you to turn the pages, you know, the ding, and it, so it has that, all the classic. But the great thing is it's all built into the book, so you don't need to have a secondary device or any other kind of technology. And currently we have those available in English and in Spanish. And I think they serve that great purpose.
Because there's a lot of shame about illiteracy, so some adults won't come forward, or their children don't even know that they're, like my grandmother did not know how to read. I did not know she didn't know how to read, but she still took me to the library, you know, all the time, and she stood over me like I thought she was reading everything. But we need to be very sensitive at that nature, but also provide materials where they can support their child and it builds a collaborative parent, you know, moving forward.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I love this. I really do. I'm about, it's just awesome.
I had a really good time putting it together, especially with all the photos. It's fun to see it collectively. So thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
I'm sorry to keep asking questions. I'm curious though, so how do you like schedule Mother Goose? Do providers reach out to you, or are you reaching out to them? And then what's your capacity? Do we need to be considering another Mother Goose? Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Well, currently I am scheduled for 20 hours a week. The position is full. I think when I was hired, they asked me to work 80 to 90% out of the building, and I can assure you that there's a lot of that going on. And so when I'm back in, I'm packing books, ordering books, and processing those books, the free ones to give away, and scheduling. And the scheduling goes out where I go to our Head Start, an early Head Start. I have six different individual daycares who have qualified for Head Start teaching and funding, and also to several different play groups, including Orchard Downs, and then there's one that meets at Soccer Planet right now, and they have several of the visiting consortium, the early learning organizations that work together to make sure that they are presenting themselves to the community at large. It's open to the public, but they also invite some of their clients in as well. So there is a wide opportunity for people to get to know one another that way. And I have to add something just a little bit more, is that we have our caregivers do ask specifically for their students. They let us know. We have bilinguals. Please support us with bilingual books as well. And so there are opportunities for us to reach out to the whole group at times to say we offer these bilingual books so that even English-speaking, primary English speakers will also have the exposure to other languages as well. And so they're being comfortable with their language that they speak and share. So did I answer your questions on that?
Great. The prompting for my question is, so I have twins-ish that go to ECDL on campus, and y'all have been there twice, like every, so you all are there in their classrooms. And so the nature of the work is such that you couldn't have a classroom of 30 when you're doing this, and get out of hand, so it has to be small. So we are limited somewhat, I would imagine, in size, and like if you're already doing all of those classrooms, it would seem to me that your schedule would very quickly fill up with all of, just in that building alone is like 20 classrooms or whatever. So I'm just trying to figure out, are we serving everyone who could use the services?
The teacher in me sees the opportunity to support those teachers with some different skills. And show them the movement, the large motor, the fine motor, the nursery rhymes, all of that bringing in to support their regular themes and their regular day. And so it's kind of a teacher training as we do it. So those teachers will then again multiply as they move around and so forth. Obviously, we cannot get to every single spot in the school. So I am, or in the community, so I am kind of on call. But then as my time allows, I can schedule in others as well.
And one thing I'll mention up to that too, when we first designed Mother Goose on the Loose with United Way, we used a lot of their resources to help us identify locations where access to educational resources, access to this type of quality programming may not be readily accessible. So we utilize those initial locations that most of them have been with us for many years now. Even during the pandemic, we were still doing some type of adaptive program. And so it's not to say that over time we haven't had an opportunity to maybe do some one-off programming every now and again for maybe a more well-resourced preschool or something like that. We've looked for those opportunities, but primarily we have maintained a kind of a rotation of, I think it was about 25 locations where we're regularly visiting.
Cool.
Well, and I had just a few other items for the director's report. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I didn't want to spend necessarily a lot of time with it, but I did want to point out a couple of items in the director's report for the studio and Douglas Makerspace. We have these updates to share how those new spaces and services are performing. Studio, of course, has been just moving right along, continues to see great attendance, and we've been very pleased with the attendance so far that we've had with our Douglas Branch Makerspace. The exciting thing about this is, if you've been in that space, you've seen it's not necessarily a big, big space. I think comfortably we see between 4 and 6 folks in there. And so the attendance that we have seen for those programs that we've offered so far has been really great, and the kids have just been super excited about the space. The strategic plan progress report, I just wanted to highlight that a lot of what you're seeing in the report is inclusive of our new Friday night hours, which we're very excited about, but we've had some great progress on those goals that we've started on in January after we've had the board adopt the new strategic plan. Internally, we're working with a new tool to track our progress. We've been very excited about this. It's been kind of a big staff effort to utilize Microsoft Planner to help us track our progress and to be able to report out on that. So big thank you to the team, the managers, and the team leads on that, because it's been a really nice way to be able to capture the data and be able to report it out, which has been helpful. And I think that's all I have for that.
Our next item on the agenda is the Teen Space Lighting Bid Approval and Contract.
We are happy to bring back a competitive quote for this project. In the background memo, it indicates that we did not include, or we did not move forward with the last quote that we received for it. This round, we had a far more competitive process, and we were able to review and evaluate the bid from Remco as being the most competitive at a $55,000 bid, and our project budget was $60,000, so we feel very pleased with that. And the next steps in the process include, once we award the contract, then it'll probably take about 10 weeks for the lead time, and then we'll start working on the installation. And hopefully we can avoid any rush into the start of the school year, but if so, if we do end up overlapping, we'll do our best to avoid any service interruption.
Could you remind us why it was that we had to replace the lighting so quickly?
Sure. So the cathode lighting that is original to the space, it was basically, it's definitely outdated. We tried to modify it several times. It's not been successful over a long term. And if you've been in the space, you can see that the bulbs are just not supporting the space to be well enough lit. There is a sole source manufacturer on that, and they are now at this point just non-communicative. So we need to revise the system.
I'm looking at this now, but are we going with LED or something like that to make it?
The new ones, it is an LED, but the fixture of it is very similar to what we have down in the studio, and we were intentional about that because staff have found that the sound dampening quality of those fixtures has been really helpful. Mm-hmm. So that will be great for this new space.
Do we have any further comments or questions from the board on the Teen Space Lighting Bid? Any comment from the audience on the Teen Space Lighting Bid? Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, same sign. Okay, our next item on the agenda is the fiscal year 2026 election of officers, and that our nominating committee chair will both go.
We met. There were not a lot of nominations, but there were good nominations. And we have come forth with a slate. Slate is President Katie Blakeman, Vice President Minnie Pearson, Secretary Michael Ledoux, Treasurer Rajiv Malik, our visiting board member. So we would like to open the nominations as well at this point, as has been standard operation. So if there are other nominations from this board right now. Now's the time to make them. Hearing none, I would say I would submit this slate to the board.
I think that would be, so that would be a motion from the board?
Yes.
Is that, okay.
So moved.
Okay, and then I think we would need a second.
Second.
Okay. Do we have any comments or questions from the board on the nomination? Any comment from the audience on this item? Then all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, same sign. Okay. Well, thank you very much. I am very pleased to be able to serve as president again this year, and further pleased that we will have our excellent vice president and the secretary and treasurer. So we'll
thank
have.
Thank you all very much. We know we will hold you up and pass you.
Thank you very much. Okay, our next item then is the board committee and liaison assignments. This is also an action item, but also want to let all of you know that you know, if there are changes that you would like to see to this, if there, you say, actually, I'd love to serve on this committee or that committee, please do let me know. We can always make changes to that. But I have put this together with the feedback from all of you and what you are interested in serving in this year. And so this is the board, the committee and liaison assignments for this next year. Okay.
Second.
Okay. Are there any comments or questions from the board on this item? Okay. Any comment from the audience on the board committee and liaison assignments? Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And opposed. All right. Next, we have the financial reports, first starting with the check register for May 2025.
Okay, on the check register, if you want to go to page 2, please, near the bottom, you can see $16,906 for Davis Electric, which was for planned electrical updates to the building, specifically the ground fault protection system. and it went very well, so yes. moving on, we have on page 5, just so you're aware, it's a $15,000 check to the Friends of the St. Paul Village Library, which we already mentioned, we wrapped up our strategic plan. This is just a reprint. That check was lost in the mail, so we have reissue. So we're having more money, we just had to
reissue.
Yes,
okay.
Just because I know I mentioned that we closed that out. So
okay.
It's not new.
Page 15.
Page 5. What did
page
I say? 15 and I. No.
Okay.
Five. And page 6.
Mm-hmm.
Just, we're going to be seeing more of these. And near the top of the page, to Mergent, there's an $18,000 charge, which is an annual database renewal for a public use database. And this is the time of year, June, July, we see a lot of those big renewals come through. Is it near the end of the year? And that's all I wanted to point out for the check register.
Okay. For this item, we would need a motion to file.
Motion to file.
Second.
Okay. Do we have any comments or questions from the board on the check register? Okay. Any comments from the audience on the check register? All those in favor, say aye.
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 And opposed. All right. Next, we have the financial statements for May 2025.
Okay, for operating, if we're looking at the top of the page for revenue, we received our final installment of our corporate replacement tax, which was $28,000 approximately, which puts us very close to what we budgeted, which is always really exciting. We are also still coming in really strong with our photocopy income, and we've received reimbursements from Urbana Library as well as the Unit 4 School District as we start to tie up some of these things for the end of the year. interest is looking great, and we also received our a reimbursement from the city for our launch databases that they support for us every year. We are keeping an eye on expenses as we're tying up the end of the year, making sure we're utilizing our budget appropriately. That's all I have for operating.
Could I ask about the unit four? Do they run on a school year budget?
Yes, so I bill them periodically for, I believe it's August through May.
So you've got one more.
I usually do it the afterwards, okay. So I've got one more to bill. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then moving on to capital. Capital was pretty busy with electrical work, as well as we finished off the Douglas meter space. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. I wanted to point out near the bottom, under office furniture equipment, you can see there's a credit. We received a check from the insurance company for that minivan that was totaled. So that's just offsetting the cost of the van we purchased a few months ago. So it just looks a little blunder for something else going through that line. For small amounts. Moving on to the next page, to cafe. Doing its cafe thing. We're still looking at about a 7% growth over last year, year to date. And fund balance holding steady at about 3,000. And so far, no need to share any money with them. So they're sustaining themselves. One more month and we got a whole year. Per capita fund, as usual, just slowly knocking that down, and we'll be zeroing out with the June expenses. No news specifically on per capita for the future. And then, flipping over again to the 27th pay period, nothing material except for interest, which is a lot more than expected. And we'll see a little bit of movement in there next month when we do our fund transfers for the year. Finally, the general grant fund. Like I mentioned, we have closed out the Makerspace project. We've paid all the construction bills. You can see we received $19,000 in May from the DCEO grant to reimburse for the first quarter's progress report. We will submit the remaining $30,668 with the July reporting, so hopefully we'll receive that. The last one went pretty quickly, so we should be getting it in August. Just a note on that project, we did come in pretty close to budget with that for construction and expenses, with just a little bit of the funds we allocated and get funds to hold on to for future upgrades and enhancements and additional equipment purchases down the line.
Okay. On this item, we would need a motion to accept.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Do we have any further questions or comments from the board on the financial statements? Any comment from the audience on the financial statements? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed. Okay. Next, we have our committee and liaison report. So, foundation.
Really nothing to advise you on at this point.
Okay. Great.
Other than what you're going to say, the introduction of the new fund.
Oh, yes. Yes. So we are very excited that Terry Good will join us on July 7th as our new development director. She has had a long history with this community of fundraising and building relationships, longtime library user. We're just very, very lucky to have her join our team, and we'll look for an opportunity, of course, to bring her to the board meeting so she can meet everyone.
Okay. Then City Council.
Probably the biggest thing to report on is that we passed the budget last night. That approved the library's proposed budget as well.
Great. Excellent. And friends?
Well, we had our annual meeting today. It was anticlimactic. Mm-hmm. And, but there were a lot of interesting personalities there, the new director of the Urbana Public Libraries in attendance. And we had the new director of the overall library of the University of Illinois as our keynote speaker. I wish I could tell you I understood what she was talking about. Her comments assumed a great deal of her audience. She made references to some spectacular amounts of money that are in danger because of executive orders from Washington. One that was fairly clear was the elimination of funding for the digitizing of newspapers for researchers and citizen access. So that program has been underway for a number of years. It's apparently been halted, at least the funding for it has. And it's difficult to know what the outcome of that will be for future research or fact checking by average citizens or people who don't have direct access to primary source material and old papers or microfiche or other old technologies that are being preserved. There was a $70 million funding amount that was cited with respect to National Institute of Health grants that had been virtually eliminated, but the courts are challenging that. There was reference made to, I think in the last year, the Friends raised $88,000. Did I hear that correctly?
They've actually raised a little bit more than $88,000,
well,
but they have given
$88,000. Yeah. You know, that's pretty impressive. So it was an interesting meeting. And they had fruit and berries, which of course just enhanced the experience. So that was all nice. It was a nice opportunity to meet some local library luminaries who are now more familiar with our library.
Excellent.
It was a nice event.
May I ask you to explain?
You may ask me anything.
Talk to me in language terms.
What?
And what did they say?
Oh, anticlimactic?
Yes.
Well, it was kind of, there were no earth shaking or earth shattering incidents involved. There were no climaxes that I can relate to.
I thought it was a very exciting meeting. I don't know. I was very excited because Brittany and our staff have such good relationships with the university library system, and so I think that was really cool. Last year's speaker was the News Gazette, and I learned amazing things about that and how it impacts our library as well. So I think I was excited to see Dean Stewart as the featured guest. And I think some of the, because we do have such a strong, like, library, easily impressed, I don't think so. I think it was very, like, amazing to hear from someone who's had a storied career in libraries and that she knows what we do here. So, yeah, I was very excited.
Very good. Well, thank you. Now it is time for our general public comment. So the board now invites public comment. Public comment is an opportunity for the board to listen to community concerns. We treat the matters raised at public comment seriously, and in the interest of responding thoughtfully, it is the board's standard practice not to engage in back and forth exchanges or to respond on the spot. Rather, we listen carefully, take comments under consideration, and follow up with thorough research so that the board or library staff can make an informed response at an appropriate time. Each person is allotted 5 minutes to speak, and we request that each speaker state their name and city of residence prior to speaking. We now invite any community member in attendance to participate. Do we have any public comments?
I see that head shaking over there. You don't want a public comment?
Okay. All right. Do we have any comments from the board this evening?
Yes, I would like to, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. I would like to thank each and every one of you that came out to the Douglas Branch Library and the Douglas Center Juneteenth celebration. It was well attended. It was just such a good energy. He had his twins with him. They were shy. I tickled them. There were so people there that represented the community, that showed love and affection and talent and all of those things. It meant the world because, as I had stated earlier that week, I took a walk around the community, to just kind of read it and get a feel for appreciation of those two buildings, the Douglas Center and the library, and how important it is. And so people came out of the city council. Everybody came, it was so appreciated and talked about, but it's been talked about every day, how well attended it was for such a short notice. The signs, the vendors, the food. We even had people comment on meeting the park district commissioners. They didn't know who they were. And so being there and meeting people who make decisions about our public spaces and things like that. The library, giving away the, you know, selling a t-shirt. I want one, by the way. It was just so nice and friendly. They were saying, oh, people were just smiling. The children were happy. It was great. So thank you all for supporting and seeing the value and coming to that end of town, because it's a really good community, and we don't let a couple of bad apples spoil it for the whole bunch of us who really value those resources over there. Thank you so much. It was great.
I didn't get to play on the water features.
Well, I heard there was some natural water at the one with the brain. There was a little bit. That was a bad mom joke. Okay. Do we have any other comments from the board?
I'll just second Lainey's comments. We had such a lovely time. Everyone from the library was out there and being so friendly. Everyone was so happy.
Yeah.
So happy. I wish, like, everyone had giant grins on their faces everywhere.
Right.
It was the best weather we've had in 4 years. It was like yeah, it was just
the energy was just it was magical. I even went off my diet and had a snow cone. I know, and they did it to me. That early stuff was made out of. And I thought, oh my goodness. But it was wonderful. I had the best time, and the young people, they had such a good time.
Mm-hmm.
You had a good time too.
You have photographic evidence.
Yeah, I took lots of pictures, and I put them out there, and people were just commenting. It was wonderful. Let's keep it going. Keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to mentor a spoken word artist on a portrait of Paul Lawrence Dunbar.
It was nice. Very, very nice. And hugs. People were hugging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were hugging each other, weren't they? They were just running around. Hey, like it was a family reunion. It was great. Thank you. Okay, that's it.
No, I'm happy to hear that everything went so well.
Mm-hmm.
I will just add thank you for entrusting me as your board president again this year. I really, really, truly do enjoy serving in this role. This is, the library is very close to my heart. Of course, I have children who enjoy being, maybe not so much at a meeting, but was very happy to come to the library tonight. This is my middle daughter, Juliana, who is with me tonight, and wanted to see the meeting.
Your MLS to use.
Yeah. Well, we have plenty of library at home, but I wanted to say thank you to the staff again for your wonderful, the reading programs, the summer reading programs. My teenager has participated in the spring reading program and was very excited about the reward or the incentives, and she got the incentive being books. And so then she and her friends have set up, they have a summer book club, and they are all trying to get their hours so that they can earn the next incentive. And I just don't know how to state how pleased I am that my teenager, my almost 14-year-old, is setting up a summer book club with her friends. Like, that is really powerful for kids right now. So I just wanted to say thank you again and how much it is appreciated. And I have one who will be coming to the library sometimes She's an incoming sixth grader at Jefferson, so sometimes we'll be coming over to the library with her friends, and we very much look forward to having another another kid coming to the library after school. So thank you again. Okay, well, our next meeting will be July 16th, right here. Could I have then a motion to it? Oh, sorry.
Question. We used to get contact sheet, phone numbers, and all of that on it, you know, to how we can contact each other. Will we be getting that soon?
Yes.
Okay.
Because
okay,
I missed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now that the officers and committees have been set, yes,
yeah.
I will send it out very soon.
Okay, great.
Okay, then we would just need a motion to adjourn.
A motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, and we are adjourned. Thank you.
She came back last night, and we had bought her some books, and she said that she was more than ever.
Thank you.
A lot of them, yeah, from the strong people are 20. They're moving away from social media, because they're not finding a free app.
Yes.
And they're picking up books.
I don't listen.